Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, and empowerment. We're so glad to have you with us every Tuesday, and we're here from 7 to 8 p.m.-ish Standard Time. We just like to tell you we're so glad that you joined us today and ask that you join us every Tuesday and bring friends, family, and loved ones to dialogue with us here. And as always, we'd like to start off our Bible study with song, scripture, and prayer. We're going to open up tonight with Open My Heart by Yolanda Adams.
Oh,
So can I get Brother Eric to read the scripture for tonight?
Yeah. Can you hear me there?
I hear you now.
I can hear you here.
Yes. So tonight's reading will be a New Living Translation, Romans chapter 12. I'll be reading verses 1 through 8 with an emphasis on verse 5 for our study tonight. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will accept. When you think about what he has done for you, is that too much to ask? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect his will really is. As God's messenger, I give each of you this warning. Be honest in your estimation of yourselves, measuring your value by how much faith God has given you. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, and this is verse 5, so it is with Christ's body. We are all part of his one body, and each of us has different work to do. And since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others. God has given us the ability to do certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out when you have faith that God is speaking through you. If your gift is that of serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, do a good job of teaching. If your gift is to encourage others, do it. If you have money, share it generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift of showing kindness to each other, do it gladly. I've read to you from the New Living Translation, Romans 12, verses 1 through 8, with an emphasis on verse 5. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, doing, hearing, understanding, and placement of his word.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, would you join me in prayer, please? God, as we come before you and we prepare to do this Bible study, we ask, oh God, that your presence would be made known. And that as you come to us, we know, Lord, that if you don't show up and show down, there'll be no show out. You got to show up, Lord. You got to be here. You got to open our hearts and our minds and give us revelation knowledge. That's just useless. And so we ask that you come into the study, for you're welcome here. Lead, God, and direct us so that we can grow. And as we move forward with your Holy Spirit, we know that not only will it change and transform our lives, but it will change and transform the lives of those who are listening. Lord, help us as we seek to be obedient to your will and to use what you gave us. So as we go before you, as we go before the people, as we come together to dialogue, enlighten us, provide for us, and, Lord, we just ask the blessing. That's all we ask is a blessing. You take all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 So as we go forward tonight is the night that we talk about using what God gave you. Woo! Some really deep stuff. You know, do we really believe that God gave us anything? All these questions we're going to go through and all these opportunities to share and to grow. How many people actually did something with what we learned last week that's on the line? Anybody? Amen.
This is a great
idea. Amen, Brett. You want to share briefly what you learned, use that with?
Well, basically, meeting people, and this young lady was having some issues of whether her and her family needed to stay here or move back to where they came from. And I asked her, I said, you were talking about God led you here. I said, what makes you think that God wants you to leave? Has he told you that? And she said, no. She said, but I said, yeah, you don't. But what is God telling you? I said, you have to listen to what God has for you, because he had you to come here for a specific reason. And the thing is that she didn't know that she was getting ready to be promoted. And so when I left her, I said, don't give up yet. I said, pray on it. I said, God's got something better in store for you. And the next time I went into the store, I didn't see her. I asked what happened to her. They tell me she got promoted to the lead over the front people that checked you out and everything. So it put her in a better position. It put her in a better light. And you just don't know what God has for you as long as you are obedient to what he has for you to do. And exercise your gifts.
Amen. 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 So those Amen. Of you, you know, we ask that you utilize the Bible study, that you not just listen to it, but you apply it to your lives. And, you know, I got to let y'all know, I get schooled by Brother Eric every other day. Walk it.
All
talk
right.
it. Don't just talk it, but walk it. And I think we all go through times in our lives where, you know, it's not that we don't know it. It's not that we don't even remember it sometimes. And sometimes we may be walking it, but we just need to be reminded of not only that when we walk it, that God will give us the power and the ability to do everything that we don't even know we can do. And I'm a testimony for that. I'm a witness for that. So if you guys are ready, we've been working on this idea of understanding that we're shaped from God for God. We've been looking at accepting our assignment, that we're shaped for serving God, that we need to understand our shape. And tonight, Brother Eric and I, mostly Eric, is going to lead us in using what God gave you. And I want to apologize. I'm on a really tough schedule at work, and they could care less about our Bible study, but God is good. And thank God we were only just about 7 minutes late getting started, but we, you know, God
Amen.
Blessed them. You know, we continue
Amen.
On. We continue fighting on. So, Brother Eric, if you're ready to go, let's
Amen.
Go. Let's
thank,
go.
Thank you, Dr. Susie. And what I would echo with your testimony is that we all get to that point, and sometimes we just don't want to talk to people about it. We think that we're in this all by ourselves, whatever trouble we get. And I told you when I rejoined back at the beginning of the year, I kind of went through that wilderness journey that I needed to go through, and I knew that I needed to go through it. And coming out of that wilderness journey, what God spoke to me clearly is that you are not by yourself. There are others there, and
Amen.
You need to have them a part of what you're going through, because if we've been learning through these lessons, our experiences that we go through, the good, the bad, and the ugly, are all shaped for us to do God's work. And we need to be reminded of that, and we need to stay in that, is that everything that we go through, the good, the bad, and the ugly, is designed for us to do God's work. Because the experience that you go through that has been a problem will allow you to be ministered to somebody else that you can truly say, hey, I know what you're going through. I've been there. A lot of times people tell us that and they have no idea.
Amen.
But if you've been through that, you can look that person in the eye and say, hey, I know full well what you're going through. I've been there. Let me tell you how God used me in that instance that I can share with you to help lighten your
Amen.
Load a little bit. Because that is our responsibility. We are our brother's keepers in Christianity. We may not want to believe that, but we are our brother's keepers in Christianity.
Yep.
Amen.
So with that, we're going to be talking about using what God gave you. And I got two for real questions on that starting right off the bat. What is the best because God deserves your best, I need you to think about what is the best that you have to offer God. Have you really thought about that? God, what as you go in prayer and as you go before the altar, what is the best that you have to offer God? For me, the best that I can offer God is being available to talk with those who are going through troubles, to share what knowledge I have about God, about my journey through this. Because, you know, Dr. Susan tell you, I will tell you in a heartbeat, I got baptized in 1978. And I went down a dry devil and came up a wet one. But my spiritual baptism came in 1983. And it started a whole new process where I literally read my Bible every day before I go anywhere. I start my day out with an hour of reading and devotion and prayer. And throughout the day, when things arise, I'll go back to God's word. I remember a section that I read and how I can apply it in that instance, and everything that I try to do. When I get in my car, I pray to ask God to give me safe passage and let me not have any issues. When I'm doing work, I ask God to keep me safe and help me to make sure I make good decisions on what I'm doing. Whatever issue it is, I pray to God. And that I learned from reading.
Amen.
The wall of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was standing before the king, and he wanted to go back home to be able to rebuild the wall. And the king asked him, well, what is it that you're going to need? And the word tells you that I made a quick prayer to God about what it is that I needed to do. And God gave him the words to tell the king about what he wanted to do to go back home and build the wall. So what is the best that you have to offer God? Somebody else, what is the best that you have to offer God? Have you really thought about that? Is it your praise and your worship? Is it your singing? Is it your teaching? Is it your service? Is it what do you have? And you have to realize that in the context, it doesn't just mean in the church, because there are a whole lot of unchurched folks that we need to be a beacon of light for. Anyone?
This is Dr. Susie. This is Dr. Susie. And, Britt, before you go, I just want to make a statement, and I just want y'all to think about this. Rick Warren always says that your gift operates in your shape. And we spent all last week talking about the shape was when you apply your abilities. And after you apply your abilities, you look at also using your personality and employing your experiences. So, you know, those things make up your shape. And Eric is asking you a question that is sort of comes from what you understand about your shape.
Right. And there are two other parts of the shape, which are your spiritual gifts and your heart. What do you have passion for?
Yeah.
What do you get lost in? Man, I didn't realize that question was going to be so not non-talkative.
No, this is correct. my spiritual gift is organization. And
okay.
I guess what I do best is what my parents taught me, which is to be compassionate towards my fellow person and to help people. So those are the two that I know that God put on my mind this morning when I was thinking about it, because the joy I got from organization is I can get lost in organizing things and in helping somebody else. It really feels good when you can help somebody that didn't know that God sent you their way, but you come there bearing either food or you have, as my folks used to say, a piece of money for them that can help them over whatever hump they're going through.
Amen.
Anyone else?
Dr. Susie. This is Dr. Susie. I think part of this is people sometimes, I think we're afraid because, you know, as Rick was saying, his perspective is if we are walking in a gift, and he's saying you figure this out by experimentation, you know, you figure do it and you figure out if it's something that you have a lot of success in, is what he's saying. But I really want to ask you guys, what do you biblically think? Because I do think you have to be fruitful in it, but my question related
Amen.
To that, Eric, is does it have to be good to you? It can be good for you, but does it have to be good to you? So,
so
you can have
yeah,
a passion
so,
about stuff, but go ahead.
Right, so... But if it's not good to you, then are you wasting your time in that? Because God doesn't want you doing something that you're going to be miserable in.
Well,
I don't
just,
serve a God
I'm
like
just
that.
Recalling Jeremiah. Jeremiah cried up a whole
yeah,
2 weeks.
Well, right. And that is the purpose that God called Jeremiah for. And he found out that was his shape. And he was always asking God to help strengthen him through that. But God is.
But I don't think it was. I don't think everybody that God called to do something, I'm sorry, but if you, I mean, let's, if we could work around that, because I don't think that everybody biblically who was called to do something was overjoyed. I don't even think Jeremiah, as we're talking about, enjoyed, you know,
well,
what he was called to do. I think that's a lot of people. But,
let me say this, because you're right, yours are different,
okay.
But let me say this. If God called you today to predict that the doom of the world was coming, would you really want to do that?
Absolutely not.
So
but
remember what we're
God
reading biblically. Well, right. And so what we're reading biblically is that God is telling those prophets to prophesy to Israel that your doom is coming. If you don't turn from
right.
what you're doing, your doom is coming. Now, he also gave through some of the prophets, but there is a reprieve or a refreshment for you coming later through Jesus Christ. But if you don't stop what you're doing right now, your doom is coming. You're going into exile. You're going to be killed. The city's going to be destroyed. And you're going to become slaves all over again.
But it's kind of like a pastor who goes in there and has to tell the church that sitting on the pew don't work. But if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you got to get involved in the game. I mean, that's the same type of issues, and you get beat up for that. And so I'm saying sometimes the call, being a pastor, being a leader in those areas, is people cry, just like Jeremiah cried. Not because they aren't passionate for the Lord, or wanting to be obedient to God, but because of the consequences of the fallout. And sometimes we're called to do stuff that doesn't feel good, you know, some stuff that's challenging.
Amen.
You know, I don't think that Paul was excited about knowing that if he got to the emperor, he could cut his head off.
No, he wasn't excited, but he knew that was his shape. He knew that that's what he was.
That was his calling. That was what he was
right.
designed
well,
to
so,
do.
So,
and
so let me read this real quick, Dr. Susie, and then I'll yield. The Lord gave me a message. He said, "I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my spokesman to the world." Oh, sovereign Lord, I said, I can't speak for you. I am too young. Don't say that, the Lord replied, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of people, for I will be with you and take care of you. I, the Lord, have spoken.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen to that.
And it's done. Mm-hmm. And so the reality is what I'm saying to you is I don't want us to get so caught up that we forget and think that passion and determination and excitement means it's going to be smooth. That's my point. I'm saying sometimes it may be that way for a while or a season,
But then sometimes when you're effective for the Lord, it's not fun. It's challenging. It's grueling. When Jonah was called to go and he had to deal with the Assyrians, he wasn't happy. He was sitting under the daggum bean tree pouting, you know. But so I'm saying there are different times when we're called to do something or to be. As Eric said, you walk in your shape, and your shape is transformed as you grow in the Lord. And the more that we grow, the more that we trust, the more that we walk, then what at one point in time becomes a challenge may become a different kind of passion. The passion may not be so much to go and do the task, but the passion may become pleasing the Lord. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
So
yes,
I'm in
amen.
Support of what you're saying, Eric. I'm agreeing with you 100%.
But let's go a little deeper on that one, because I think we're cutting it off that our listeners aren't going to get what's really important in that, what you just said, because it's true. But what's really important is that when you go to the next level, is that as you're going through that, you turn to the Lord and give it to the Lord. Lord, you brought me here. You sent me here. You instructed me. This is yours. Now, work within me to get to the point to where I'm passionate and I'm doing what you said, because I'm not going to be listening to the criticism. I'm not going to be getting beat up by it, because thus said the Lord. And then if they don't want to hear you, like Jesus told the disciples, if you walk into a village and they don't want to hear you, what did he tell them to do?
Shake your
kick the dust off your feet. And leave
there
it to
go.
Themselves.
And keep it moving.
And keep
there
it moving.
Go. Amen.
And the Lord will tell you that. He'll tell you, yeah, I sent you there and they didn't listen. Okay, this is what I need you to do now. But what happens is that we take it personal. Like they're attacking us. And we get hurt.
Yes.
We get embarrassed. We don't like being talked about. We don't like being criticized. So we take it personal. Instead of us turning back to the Lord and saying, okay, you sent me here. This is what happened. I know you saw this. I did what you told me to do. I'm going about it the way you want me to go about it. So I need for you and your glory to go ahead and do whatever it is you need to do, because I'm giving this back to you. I'm not taking ownership of
Amen.
It. I'm just the vessel.
Amen.
And that's what
Amen.
We got to get used to doing. We got to get used to giving it back to God and saying, I'm just the vessel. This is
right.
This is yours. I'm just the vessel.
So when we do that, when we operate in and we're learning to operate in our gift, we have to ask the question, you know, do we see fruit from the work that we do? Do we see positive results? Because like you said, if you're claiming you're a leader and you look around and you ain't nobody following you, you might want to think about maybe there's another gift that you're more effective than leadership.
There you go.
Leadership may not really be your cup of tea. So, you know, as we walk in these things, go ahead. I hear somebody saying something. Go ahead.
This is Eric, and I always like to keep a little levity. I always like to keep just a little levity, because I think God has a great sense of humor. Every time I look in the mirror every morning, I can see it's true. But some of you are old enough to remember Lee Iacocca, who started with Ford. He, you know, kind of helped design
yeah.
the Mustang and all of that. Then he went to Chrysler when they were in trouble
mm-hmm.
back in the mid-70s. And they had this commercial.
Right.
And there are two commercials that I'll never forget in my life. One is the Fram oil filter. You can pay me now for this $3.99 oil filter, or you can pay me later for a new engine when you don't change the oil and put a filter in. The other one was Lee Iacocca. He had this statement. He said, you can lead, follow, or get out of the way.
Yep.
And that's what sometimes that's what we need to think about when we are doing our ministry work. As doctors say, are we effective? Are we doing what God asks us to do? If we're not, okay, well, is my shape in this that I need to follow and be a support to somebody, or do I just need to get out of the way and go do something else?
Amen.
And don't look at it as a failure. Rick says don't look at it as a failure. Look at it as an experiment. I tried that. That didn't work for me. That ain't my cup of tea. I tell you what, I'm gonna try something else.
Good advice. Okay. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Which means we need to be about discovering what our shape is, what our spiritual gifts are, what our heart is into, what our abilities are, the natural abilities that God has given us. What is our personality like? How does that fit in with what it is that I want to do in serving God in our experiences?
Yes.
All of that
Amen.
Needs to be incorporated.
Amen. So, this is Dr. Susie. You know, that piece about consider your heart and your personality, I don't know how many people, when it doesn't work out, they are down on themselves. And you can be in a room with a bunch of people, and you can be doing exactly what God told you to do. And yet they'll point the finger at you like it's something wrong with you. And then they want to make it personal and say, oh, it's their personality, it's the way they do this. But in reality, I know people who have done great work and are trying to lead people in a direction, and when they don't want to go, then they want to yell out that individual's personality is the challenge. When in reality, they just aren't willing to go where they were trying to be led. So sometimes I think that, you know, we have to ask the questions, you know, to make sure that we're not down on ourselves when we know that God has led us somewhere to do something. As you were saying a minute ago, Eric, we got to remove we can't take it personal. And then we have to be okay with the personality and the heart that God gave us. Because if we got a heart of service and God sent us someplace or to do someplace, we have to trust that God knows what God's talking about.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All of you were teenagers, and you know, in you know, junior high and high school. And did any of you ever hear this phrase from fellow students? Oh, you stuck up. You conceited. You think you something. Anybody ever hear that growing up?
Like that.
I'm just teasing.
And
absolutely.
Did somebody say they never heard anything like that? Did I hear that?
I'm teasing.
Yeah, you heard.
Dr. Susie, I'm teasing.
Who never heard anything like that? Brett, you never heard
you
anything like
that?
Oh,
Eric,
oh,
you know she has.
Oh.
Eric, you know she has.
I'm meddling.
I know we all have at some point in time.
Going to BYU, well, you know she heard it.
Let me ask you this question. What was your response to those people? Did you have a response, or did their words hurt you and make you feel that you had to justify your personality and who you are and what you were trying to accomplish?
No.
No on which part? You didn't have to justify yourself to them? How did it make you feel?
Eric, this is Brett. No, when somebody would say something to me like that, and they say, you stuck up. I said, well, what do you mean by the word stuck up? What does that mean? Explain it to me.
And normally they couldn't.
There you go. That ended that conversation.
Right.
Yeah, this is Brian from Maine. You're right, Brian. It's very, very important when somebody approaches you, especially if they're angry or frustrated, to clear up what they mean by terminology, because very often people get crossed up by having different interpretations of the same phrase or the same word even, and it can be cleared up usually just by dialogue.
Right.
This is Susie. You know, y'all are you guys are really tough and sharp and everything, but I just want to let you know, I was one of those little kids, and I was shocked when somebody said I was stuck up because everything, we grew up and we didn't have a whole lot. And we, my parents always pushed education, but I didn't understand what you mean by I'm stuck up. And it,
there you go.
It hurt me because I'm like, I'm trying to be a goody-goody two-shoe. I'm trying to be, do everything my mom and daddy said. I'm trying to build relationships and stuff. And then somebody's going to, don't even, the person that doesn't even know me is going to say some stuff like that. Now,
amen.
I used to do gymnastics, and there wasn't a whole lot of black folks doing gymnastics in the day. So,
no.
You know, just because I was different. Okay.
But
all right.
Anyway.
But I'm trying to elicit this because it's transferable. Because what goes on there, and I'll tell you what I used to tell people. I'm like, is that what you really think of me? Then, okay, because I can't change your mind because you don't really know me. We don't have a relationship. So you don't really know who I am or what I am. So if that's what you really think of me, then that's fine because that's your perception. And the reason that that's
important
is that no. I was always good with my words. You know, I was always good with my words.
Being 6 foot might have had something to do with it too.
Yeah, that kind of helped too.
Yeah,
but what I'm getting at is that that's transferable because one of the issues is that those young kids back then normally didn't have a relationship with you, didn't know what you were about, and you were trying to live in a way that folks that you loved and had authority over you wanted you to live. Wanted you to carry yourself, wanted you to be respectful, wanted you to, you know, to act with manners and kindness and all of that stuff. And those folks didn't understand that because they probably didn't have that kind of, you know, guidance at home, or they just wanted to drag you into what they were doing. And it's the same thing. When God has called you to do something and you run into resistance there, is either they don't know you and they don't have a relationship with you, they don't understand that you are listening to the authority of God to do this, or they just want to drag you down to where they are.
Amen.
And God is saying, nope,
that is
don't be afraid. I sent you. I got you. You don't worry about them. You don't take it personal.
But you know, grown
if the Lord
do
is
that
for
too,
you,
Eric.
Huh?
I said grown folk will do that too. I went to work.
That's what I'm getting at.
In Louisville.
That happens in
when
your,
I was in
that
Louisville.
Happens in your ministries.
Yes.
Them grown folks in your ministries that you're trying to carry out have that same concept.
They were them same bullies when they were kids. They brought their bully head on them.
But it's all in about we remember why we're doing what we're doing, what service we're providing to God, giving him our best, and reminding God. And Dr. Susie tell you this because she and I just had this conversation yesterday. Reminding God that, hey, you sent me here. You told me to do this. I'm following what you told me to do, and I know what you've done for me. I can look back and see what you did. And God doesn't get angry when we remind him of stuff that he's done. If God has brought you through something and you're facing something else, you need to say, God, I remember when you brought me through the time when I was out there and I didn't have any money and I really needed to eat and somebody blessed me with a meal. Or God, I remember when my heart was aching because I wasn't sure what was going on with this job and you opened the door and it got better and I got a better job, I got a raise. And God is sitting there saying, yeah, I did do that, didn't I? I did do that, didn't I? Oh, that was awesome.
All right.
Hey, I pulled that one off too. And that what that helps is that then God says to us, and I got this one too.
Okay.
So you just go on and carry out what I told you to do. Don't be like Jonah. Don't run the other way and have to spend 3 days, 3 months, 3 years in the belly of a whale and the turmoil of what all is going on. And then end up doing it anyway. Just go on and say, okay, you got this. I'm your vessel. I'm gonna use my shape. I'm gonna give me all the stuff that you've given me, the natural abilities, my heart, my experiences, and I'm gonna carry out this ministry. And what them people say doesn't matter. So give me the words to say to them, or give me the actions that show them, no, 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 I'm on God's plan. I ain't on man's plan. I'm on God's
Amen.
Plan. Amen. But you got to understand that when you're on God's plan, just like Nehemiah, just like Jeremiah, things happen. And it may not go as smoothly as you want it to. And that's when you reassess, say, okay, God, now has my mission changed? Because your mission can change. God can say to you, hey, okay, you took care of that. Now I need you to do this. But see, we get comfortable in some things. We say, well, no, Lord, I don't want to do that. I want to continue to do this. When in
well,
actuality,
I don't want to
God
do this
saying,
no more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't want to do this no more. Yeah, and from personal experience
Amen.
And testimony, you can get to the point to where you think it's you and it's not God. Then God has to teach you a lesson.
Amen.
Amen. This is a growing experience.
It really is.
So I kind of wanted to ask the question, does everybody here kind of know kind of what God is calling them to do, their gift? Because I think sometimes, as Rick was saying, is, you know, other people can see it. So if other people have said, like, you know, I have seen Eric's leadership, you know, how he's turned a company around, how he got all the homeless off the street. He was getting ready to put them in an apartment building. Lord have mercy.
All right.
And so, and people were following. People were doing what it took. That's leadership, when you can turn around and look and folks are following you. So,
Amen.
So others of you on the line, do you see leadership and others on, you know, I know Brett, and I'm always talking about Brett, you know, do you see leader other skills in other people? Because, so Brett, what's your main gift that you experience or feel that God is, you know, cause I want, just curious, because I want to say what, if I want to see if I see that, is it only leadership, or what is the main one? And Joan, you too. What is your main gift that you feel God is using you to do, or directing you to use for Him, for God? I should
My
say.
Main gift. This is Brett. My main gift has been preaching. I have assisted a few churches, and I've got the attendance to come up. And in the first church that I served in, the pastor that had retired, his son took over the church. But every time I would preach, we would have 75 to 100 people. Any time that he preached the other three Sundays, the attendance fell off. And so eventually God moved me out of that situation into another situation, which Dr. Susie, you came one Wednesday, and I was moved out of that one by God, because things just wasn't right. And so, you know, God has put me in places where I have had the opportunity to exercise my gift. And every time I do, something extraordinary happens. And I have to keep in mind that, and I pray about it, and I ask God, I said, you know, the next place that you send me, you know, don't let it be so obvious, because people get jealous. Because other people don't have the gift that you have been given by God. And so I had to
okay,
be careful.
Okay, so I'm going to challenge you. Hold on a second, Brett.
Go ahead.
You threw that out. Did y'all hear Brett throw that out there? Ooh, you threw that out there. And we're going to have to jump on that. We're going to have to jump on that. Because I heard him say that his main gift is preaching. Did y'all hear that? I know I heard that,
yep.
Somebody. So if that's
I
it,
heard
then
that.
What have we been teaching? But what is this book been teaching us to do when we – hello, don't get off the phone.
I'm not.
What is it that the book has been teaching us we're supposed to do? Did he walk into that, y'all? I think he walked right into that one. So Brett, what do you think I'm going to say? But I'm not going to say it. I'm going to let you say it. What is God –
We are all in the family, so there.
The reality is, this says clearly, if we have a gift, what are we supposed to do with it, Britt?
We're supposed to
exercise
a
gift.
Use it or lose it.
So, if you don't have somebody's church, I mean, they got corners on the street. They got little Bible study where you can call in and preach online. They got y'all, we got a doggy mouth. Damn, we just got doggy mouth. Because you got a gift and you're not using it for the Lord.
What makes you think
that
I haven't been doing that?
Oh, well, I back up. Why don't you share with us where you're preaching so we can know you're using your gift? I'm sorry.
No, Saturday night, I post my sermon online, and it goes out to people that are on my network. And matter of fact, somebody had told me that I probably should start a podcast, and I said, well, I don't know anything about that, but, you know, whatever way God leads me, that's what I'm going to do. So
there you go.
That's where it's at. That's where it's at right now.
He got confirmation, too.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
There you go.
He got confirmation from others. So,
yeah, but here,
so we're going to follow up and ask you what you did with it.
Hey, Mel, Brett.
I've had confirmation on stuff all my life, ever since I was a small boy. When I was 8 and 9, and the pastor of our church had me in charge of the youth ministry. So I know what that is, but I told Dr. Susie this. I said, when God got me as an adult and my calling was to be a minister, you know, I said, look, I can't be a pastor of a church. Because I can't be the one. No, wait a minute. Listen, I don't have the patience for people that got money that think that because they give $10,000 to refurbish the church or whatever, you got to do what they tell you to do. That ain't me.
Sure.
That is not what God said. There's only one shepherd. You know, you don't see sheep tending after other sheep. So you can't tell God's shepherd that has been put in charge of a flock what he can and cannot do because you're not God. God didn't anoint you. God didn't send you. All you're doing is occupying space on Sunday because you're not there on midweek service. You're not participating in anything else in the church, but then you think your money talks.
Mm.
And so that's just not me. I'll call you out in a heartbeat about that.
And that's your shape, that's your personality, and that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to call them out. Calling people out, you can be run out of town. It happened to Paul, got dragged out of town, stoned, left for dead.
But women not to resurrect
him and sent him on to do additional work.
Amen.
That was after he got the beating.
Yeah, we get and Brett, I understand because Dr. Susie used to always tell me that I needed to be a pastor, and I'm like, no, I don't. That's not my gift. I can do other stuff within the church, but being a pastor is not my gift. That's not my shape. But what I have learned is that God uses other opportunities for me to gain the knowledge and the understanding of what that may look like.
Amen.
Amen.
So in all of those other places you had been, God was preparing you for where he ultimately wants to get you.
Mm-hmm.
And Brett, we know Dr. Susie ran into that in Cleveland.
yeah. trying to lead that church in Cleveland and what they need to be doing as a church. And they fall her to the nail.
Hey, I offered to come up and clean house, but she wouldn't let me.
Yeah.
We got somebody on the line from over there in Kentucky. You Kentucky people, come on. We're talking about the gifts that y'all have. Who's on the line?
Come on.
You don't have to speak if you don't want to. We just wanted to let you know if you wanted to, you're more than welcome. So, we've been talking.
But we need to. Let me say this, Dr. Susie, because you hit on something in asking that question. But we need to be intentional about accepting and enjoying our shape and our gifts. We need to be intentional about discovering what our shape is and what our service should be to God. We need to be intentional about
it.
We can't be haphazard about it. We can't just wake up one day and say, well, you know, I think I want to go and I want to sing in the choir. Well, but you can't sing. So why do you want to sing in the choir? I mean, is that the best you have to offer God? It says giving God the best that you have to offer. Do you have anything
Amen.
Better than that? We need to be intentional about it. We need to give it some thought.
Amen.
Amen.
And we need to keep developing
Amen.
Our faith and our gifts.
Well,
because
Eric,
we get comfortable at one thing, we need to develop some other stuff.
Yeah. My thing, Eric, is if they can't sing and they don't read well enough to do the messages or the greetings and stuff, then I know you got to cook because you eat. So there's always a place for somebody to go.
There is. You know, maybe it's in the... I had a guy in my Jacksonville church, Deacon Etheridge.
Uh-huh.
Deacon Etheridge loved to clean up after the dinners and the functions that we had.
Right.
I mean, he loved it. He'd tell you, nope, get out of here. You're in my way. You're taking away my joy. I'm like, well, I'm just trying to help. He said, nope, this is mine. You find your own thing in this church. This is mine. And I mean, it was a joy to him. It was, you know how we get in churches when it's time to clean up.
There you go.
We ain't, many of us ain't trying to do that. We trying to slip out, put that one finger up and slip out the door. Oh, Lord, I'll see y'all later. Well, we standing in the back talking. We standing in the back talking and we act like we talking about the message or this, that, and other, but we just back there trying to not get out of cleaning up.
There you go.
But this brother, this deacon, that was his thing. And so I said that to say that it ain't always got to be the glamour jobs.
Amen.
If you got a great personality and disposition, you could be an usher. Because I certainly don't want this mad, mean and nasty and has a frown all the time.
Come on.
Maybe you are just the one who prepares the water for the pastor before he goes up.
Mm-hmm.
To make sure he got water or he got Gatorade so that
he
don't get dehydrated.
Did you say he?
He.
All right,
the pastor.
Susie.
He, she.
Thank
the
you.
Pastor.
Thank you very much.
The past. But what I'm getting at is that whatever brings you joy, whatever God has placed in you, your experiences, and being intentional about finding out what they are can help you to determine what your function should be in the church. Because we read in Romans,
Amen.
We all got different parts of the body, just as in Christ's church, and we all need each other. God made you to function in his church. And if you ain't functioning in God's church and in his kingdom, you are using what God gave. You are misusing what God gave you.
Amen.
I got a question, Brother Eric. Brian has been super quiet. Brian from Maine. I ain't heard him say nothing.
No, Brian's been trying to talk. I think I've talked over him. I'm sorry, Brian.
Brian from Maine, you need to come on the line and tell us what it is that your gift is and quit trying to hide over there so we can dog you out, too. Are you using it?
I'm ready to be dogged out. I'm right here. This is Brian from Maine.
Good answer.
Hey,
hi, Joan.
They say you learn a lot more from listening than speaking, so I've been listening.
There you go.
There you go. My gift is being able to listen to people without judging them prior to getting to listen to them fully and gaining the full experience of what they will convey to me, of who they are, what they need, what their issues are, without judging ahead of time. I start everyone off with a completely clean slate in my own mind. And I give them an opportunity by being patient and thoughtful and respectful to share with me what they want to tell me about themselves. That's enabled me to succeed as a consultant in business for 33 years. It's enabled me to succeed with a lot of different people. And it's enabled me to witness to many people as well once I was able to really gain firsthand information from them about who they are and what they really were thinking. Along with that, I can't really explain why it is, but I don't get angry easily. Even when people attack me, dog me out, slander me, I tend to just look at what is happening in their life, what's happening all around me, and analyze the situation and try to get to a point with them where I can stabilize the discussion or stabilize the situation and just try to get it to be as good of a situation as it can be. Even if it ends up being bad, I try to make it so that I've taken the steps I can take to make it as good as it can be.
Amen.
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 So are you using that for the Lord?
I have throughout my life, yes. I'm in a incredibly...
Yes, he's using that for the Lord.
Right.
I'm going to answer that question. Yes, he is using that for the Lord because that is a skill set that not many people have because we don't want to listen to nobody else. We just want to talk.
Amen.
We ask people, you know what drives me crazy? You see people ask you, how you doing today? And when you start, they I didn't want to know all that. I was just making conversation. I ain't got time for that. But what I'm hearing from him is that he absolutely means that. What's going on with you? Let me hear.
Amen.
And then let
me
help you to figure out how best to solve that issue. Whether you're doing that in a structural church building or whether you're doing that outside with people that you come into contact with, because that shows God's light in you. Brian, that's what that tells me. And when people know that you care about them, when they know that you truly care about them, then they will listen to you.
That's right.
And
I do.
And you have more people lined up to listen so you can start a business.
That's right. I joined a church back in 1987, and 3 months after I joined the church, I was very new at the church experience. I had not attended church, even though I had been saved quite a few years earlier. I only attended church occasionally. And after just a few months of getting to know the pastor, he started to invite me in to meetings with prospective people who were checking the church out and new people. And then he would listen to me to get what I got out of the conversation because, he found that I could complement what he had picked up.
Amen.
By just listening and not prejudging and just really, really using that skill to the benefit of his ministry.
Mm.
Amen.
Amen.
Which was for God. Amen. Amen.
Hey, Dr. Susie, this is
Joan.
Eric. Oh.
Joan, wait a minute, Eric. Don't leave yet. Let's get Joan. And then after Joan, we'll close out. Come on, Joan. You're not getting away with it.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm enjoying everything.
So what's your
but
gift,
anyway,
Joan?
This is Joan from Maine. Well, I can't really say I have won, but one thing that I have learned was that I enjoyed everything what I do. I must enjoy everything I do, otherwise it will not go through. So I asked the Lord, show me how to do this, especially when at the time when we were siblings, with my siblings younger, there was no boy. The
Amen.
Only boy that we have was away from us. He schools at the far away, and all the five of us just girls. So my dad doesn't know anything how to do things. I do a lot of disassembling, but I don't know what I'm doing. But my sister does electricity; she doesn't know what to do. But with those things, my sister and I were just talking today, and how we just relating to that. Anyway, I would say that what we have had encountered then, that we were daring, and we were willing to learn. And because of the fact that now that I got older, I said, Lord, can you show me how to do this, how to say it, how to work on it, and how to care for it. And I love the fact that I love the fact that it makes you joyful to do such work and easy, and you become to love it. And the more you do it, the more, oh, this is nothing. So it is actually at the same time praising the Lord. And it's amazing how like caring people and this even abnormal. Mm-hmm. When I was younger, I was a teenager, abnormal kids that they're being abused or think I go there and stand up and I don't know why and I don't know how to fight then, but I just had to go and grab that kids. You know, so those things that I had to stand for, I never thought that they would learn. But, you know, I realize now that I stand for what is justified. I stand what is
Amen.
Not. I stand against. And I knew that that's what I have instilled. And then I learned that whatever that is good, I will stand for. And whenever that is not right,
Amen.
I will, you know, do that. So
I just wanted to say, Joan, I heard you said,
yeah.
I heard you said I didn't know how to fight then. So the army got you a kick butt attitude. Now you don't take no mess. Okay. You can be my armor bearer.
Well, the thing is, my parents never asked us to fight because it's not godly if you fight. You know, and it doesn't make sense to me at the time. I don't know how that is. But
Amen.
I understand more.
Amen.
So.
Well, I hear that you have lots of gifts, and we are grateful that you're caring, you're sharing, and you serve. And all of us on the line tonight, even those who did not speak, you know, you have such wonderful gifts. And I know just about all of you. And, you know, you're very, you're not braggarts, but God has gifted each of you in such a way that you are phenomenal. And I know I can't wait to the day when the Lord says to me, good and faithful servants. And I know he'll be saying, God will be saying, she'll be saying, God, not she or he, but God will be saying good and faithful servants to us. And we can celebrate because we know we've used our gifts and we have used it to the best of our ability, because that's what it is. God deserves our best. And the verse to remember tonight was, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a work person who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth.
Amen. That's right.
So we have 19 seconds left. We just ask those of you who are interested in being Christians to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, accept him, speak out that you believe. God will accept you as part of the family. And we want to say tonight that we love you, and come back and be with us next week on Your Place Love Connection Bible Study.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.